Welcome to this episode of On The Case, the LSE Law Society's podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Tan. In each episode, we speak to various professionals and experts to gain insight into legal careers, law school, and other exciting developments in the world of law. Without further ado, sit back and enjoy the show.
Hi everyone, welcome to the first episode of our Legal Tech podcast series. My name is Shania Kapoor, and I am one of the team managers for LSE's On The Case podcast, which is one of the five divisions of the LSE Law Society. The aim of this legal tech series and this episode specifically is to simplify the otherwise complexly technical image of legal tech. And for that reason, we have with us today Senior Manager at Fuse, Allen & Overy's Tech Innovation Space, Ms. Brenna Spicer. Before joining Fuse, Brenna spent 6 years as Senior Counsel at Goldman Sachs, where she advised on matters relating to financial market infrastructures and directed a number of significant business and regulatory initiatives such as Brexit. And she started her career as a lawyer at A&O in London. In this episode, we will specifically be exploring the field of legal tech, the what, the why, the how. We will then jump into a discussion on Fuse and the platform it provides legal tech companies to showcase their creations. By the end, we hope to demystify the concept of legal tech and hopefully spark your curiosity to delve deeper into the field. So hi, Brenna.
Hi, Shania.
Firstly, thank you for joining us on this podcast series. When a lot of us think of legal tech, we imagine robots in courtrooms and firms replacing human beings. However, that's not the case. How would you describe legal tech, and what does legal tech mean to you?
Legal tech probably encompasses a much broader and probably a much simpler range of things than I think robots in courtrooms and frankly, even chatbots. You know, legal tech is not a new thing. It's really any technology used to help lawyers do their job better. That's as simple as that. And, you know, there's lots of technologies that have been out there for a long time since I've been practicing, whether that's, you know, software that helps you compare documents or basic document automation software. All could sort of be considered legal tech. But really, I guess the past 5 to 10 years, though, have seen, I think, a range of technology products that are much more tailored to lawyers and delivery of legal services. And that's probably more what people think about when they think about what legal tech is that kind of more tailored technology that helps lawyers do specific things or manage their transactions or manage their litigation more easily. There's also a wider range of technology that is relevant to lawyers and how they do their business, and everything from things that are sometimes referred to as reg tech. So things that help people comply with their regulatory obligations, whether that's some sort of automated platform that helps you ensure that you're doing your filings at the right time or you've collected the right data that you need to then report to a regulator. Things that some people call deal tech. So technologies that really help people execute on transactions that they're advising on. And then there's the whole field of e-discovery as well. In the case of disputes where there is a large body of documentary evidence which needs to be filtered and sorted through, there's a whole range of technologies that people use to do that. So it's a very, very broad field, I suppose, ranging from the quite simple to the quite complex. But that's exciting as well, because there's a lot out there for people to think about.
From what you said about legal tech actually facilitating the work of lawyers rather than replacing them, A&O as a law firm, as a leading magic circle law firm, has adopted this approach through its Fuse program and the platform that it provides. I think we could delve further into that. Brenna, could you tell us more about the Fuse program and how it came to be?
Yeah, sure. So Fuse was founded in 2017 by my boss, a woman named Shruti Ajitsarya. So Shruti was a lawyer at A&O for a number of years, but she was always very interested in innovation. And she was seeing in 2017 more and more technologies that looked like they'd be very interesting to her and her colleagues in their legal practice. And out of that, she decided, well, maybe we should bring these technologies together, make sure that our lawyers have the opportunity to really take a closer look at what these are, and with the intention that our lawyers at A&O really need to be able to know what these technologies are and how to use them in order to ensure that we can continue to deliver cutting edge legal service to our clients. So she put together a business plan and brought it to the managing partners, and then Fuse was born. each year we bring in a number of startup and scale up legal tech companies and other kinds of technology companies that are of interest to our clients and our lawyers, really with the view that, you know, we get to know those companies better, we can understand how their technology works, how it might shape how we need to change the way we work or improve the way we work or improve maybe the way we deliver services to our clients. And by having those companies work so closely with us and really building those relationships, not only do we create kind of an atmosphere of innovation within A&O, but I think we also support the wider legal tech ecosystem too. I mean, we're really, I guess, working very hard to promote the wider industry because I think all of us really do benefit when the best technologies are available for lawyers to do their best work.
Yes, like you rightly mentioned, A&O has drawn on their commercial experience and their commercial expertise to actually support legal tech practice, help their trainees and associates and other lawyers in the firm to do better for their clients. I think we could delve more deeper into how exactly qualified lawyers and trainees who may not always have a background or even an interest in tech are acquainted with the system and sort of trained to understand how legal tech works.
Yeah, sure. Our trainees and newly qualified lawyers are really given quite a lot of support on understanding the kinds of technologies they're going to need to use to be able to do their best work. So as part of the training that all of our trainees get, there is a legal tech component to that. We have our core toolkit of a range of different kinds of tools that are kind of available to everybody at A&O. And all of those trainees get skilled up on those when they enter the firm as an initial trainee, but also as they move around from seat to seat. Because in addition to that core toolkit of things that help with issues that are common across all practice areas, there are other technologies that are more specific to particular kinds of practice areas, whether that disputes in litigation or arbitration, or perhaps real estate, maybe employment. So we try to make sure that that training on the technology that they'll need to use is provided alongside with the substantive legal stuff that our lawyers are going to have to do as well. Because they really do go hand in hand. It's not like you can just avoid using legal tech. I guess one of the things, though, as well, we do want to make sure that our trainees and young lawyers are really feeling, you know, empowered to use legal tech, to think about different ways that they might be able to use it or innovate the way they practice. And so I think Fuse is quite helpful in that respect as well, because it's a place where they can come with those ideas. I mean, maybe they don't feel like they can necessarily speak to a partner in their group, but they really want to get that idea out there and see if it has legs. And that's really helpful that Fuse is kind of embedded within Allen & Overy there as a resource point and a starting off point when trainees and more junior lawyers have an idea that they want to explore.
Could you possibly give us an example of how A&O's Fuse project has adapted to this changing world of legal tech?
Sure. I mean, I think one of the things that we do try to do in Fuse is to look with fresh eyes every year on the pool of applications that we get to join that year's cohort. You know, I've been in this position for about a year and a half now, so I've seen a couple cycles of applications come through. And it's really amazing, actually, how much the pool of applicants has changed between the 2 years. And I think it's really important that we have that kind of annual application process where we're seeing a lot of new things to really make sure that we're up to speed on that. But I think we also do a lot of work outside of the formal application process in terms of throughout the year, looking at lots of demos of different new technologies and speaking to innovators and founders to see what they're interested in. So it's really making sure that, you know, we have a good network built up within the wider industry so that we really understand what's up and coming and what's on deck next. But I guess the other thing to think about, though, as well, that we always have to keep in mind is we may see an incredible tool, technology that just looks amazing. But ultimately, if our lawyers aren't doing the kind of work that responds to that particular tool or platform, it's maybe not one for A&O to take in and to Fuse. It's not a fun message to tell a founder that your technology is awesome, but we don't have a use for it. But we do need to make sure that we're really on top of what our lawyers are doing, how their practices are evolving as well, to make sure that the technologies that we bring in to Fuse are really responsive to the needs of our lawyers and aren't just a fun tool that's quite whizzy and neat to have.
Speaking of interests, I think it would be interesting to understand how your journey began into this space and what sparked your interest to move from advising on financial markets at Goldman Sachs to coming back to A&O as a manager for Fuse, and what made you take it on?
When I was working at Goldman Sachs as an in-house lawyer, and I've worked as an in-house lawyer at actually a number of other banks too, and one of the things that I really liked about working as an in-house lawyer was that you are often the only lawyer in the room. And what I mean by that is that you're working in what I would maybe call interdisciplinary teams. So you're part of a team of commercial people, maybe the bankers or the traders, maybe some operations teams, maybe a compliance colleague, maybe someone on the risk side, and you're all kind of working together to get something done. And I really, really liked that kind of collaborative atmosphere and working with people who aren't necessarily lawyers as well, so that I'm, you know, bringing my expertise, but, you know, somebody else is bringing their expertise and bringing that all together and kind of coming up with something. So I found that really rewarding about being an in-house lawyer. And in particular, the role that I had at Goldman Sachs when I was, you know, working on financial market infrastructure, meaning like the exchanges and the payment systems and the clearinghouses and all that kind of stuff. That area in particular is very, there's a lot of focus on operational systems and technology systems, actually, in making those infrastructure elements speak to each other and just generally work. So a lot of my work was actually with technologists, engineers, and operations experts. And I really, really loved working with them. I really enjoyed kind of how they go about analyzing problems and really enjoyed that process. That experience really made me think, well, perhaps I should, you know, look at actually working more in technology. If I'm really enjoying this work, you know, that I'm doing right now, maybe I can actually pivot and do something that's even more focused on technology. And that's really how I came back to A&O and took this position at Fuse, because I thought it would be a way for me to rely on, I guess, my understanding of what it is to be a lawyer and what that sort of means in terms of the type of work you do, but really being able to, I guess, understand from founders and innovators, you know, how their technology works and get the chance to build up some expertise there.
Thank you for that. I think that was especially rewarding because there are a lot of people in our audience who may not necessarily want to go down the conventional law route. And at the same time, there are people who are currently not even in the space of law, just like the tech, and want to know more about it. So it's interesting to see how there are many options available to hone in on your interests and tap into sort of everything and still have fun with what you do. Speaking more about your role as senior manager, what does a daily work environment look like for you? What is your workload? Is there such a thing as a typical workday for you?
I do not have a typical day. It's always changing, in part because the Fuse program is kind of a yearly program. And so we start the year with applications, and then there's the selection process and onboarding process, and we kind of do that. So that always changes throughout the year. You know, any day, I might do a number of things. I will often start the day with maybe a couple phone calls with colleagues that are sitting in Asia. I'm a bit of an early morning person. I like to get to the office relatively early. So I do take care of some of those phone calls with my colleagues in other time zones then. The team at Fuse, we always have a quick team meeting every morning. So I do that every day. And then the rest of my day really can vary between hosting training sessions with lawyers who are trialing new technologies that we've brought in from some of our Fuse cohort. Sometimes I'm preparing for a presentation for a client. It'll be myself and maybe another colleague from Fuse or another group within Allen & Overy having a brainstorming session to think about, you know, how do we want to present our ideas best to this client. Sometimes it is the actual client meetings that I'll have. And maybe I'll be seeing demos of new technologies. So it tends to be a very varied day and pretty fast paced. But there's also time, I think, to do some kind of real thinking. And so a lot of what I also do is ensuring that I take a scroll through the kind of the legal tech press every day, making sure I'm kind of understanding who's out there, who's doing what, seeing if anybody has any new demos put up, just to make sure that I'm really on top of the space.
Speaking more about the clients and the legal tech companies, Fuse has given and continues to give legal tech companies a platform to actually showcase their innovations and their technology. Could you perhaps give us an example of one such company that was part of the Fuse program and successful in their cohort, and how Fuse has helped them develop as a legal tech company?
You know, I think actually a great example is a company called Evoca, which is one of the very first companies that we brought into Fuse back in 2017. At the time, they were very young and really going up against some large incumbents. So Evoca is the document automation software. And document automation is not a new thing. Lots of these kinds of platforms have existed for a long time. And there, like I said, there are some big players in the market. But Evoca had come in thinking, we really need to be able to make this simpler. We need to be able to have a platform where lawyers can actually do the automation themselves without having to understand how to code or do anything that really, frankly, looks that much different than highlighting text within a Word document or a Google Doc. And so that's what founders of Evoca set out to do. We brought them into Fuse when they had come in. Platform was up and running, but was working on fairly simple documents. And I think one of the things we really did with them was to push them and their platform, and I guess their engineers, on being able to support the kinds of documents that A&O deals with on a day-to-day basis. So 100, 200, 300 page documents with a lot of conditionality and complexity in them. Somewhat hand in hand, we kind of moved along that journey together and have done a really great job. I mean, I think at this point, we've been partnering with them for 6 years and use their software to power automation of thousands of documents every year. And we're partnering not just on kind of the documents we create ourselves, but on industry-wide platforms. So, you know, Evoca was chosen to power a document automation platform for the Loan Market Association, and that is the trade association for commercial loans in the UK and Europe. So a really hefty, important, and prestigious opportunity for them that we really felt proud of having helped them develop their technology to be able to support that and to get that kind of market-wide recognition.
That's actually super cool, because this misconstrued idea of only those who know how to code can use legal tech is just so baseless. The platform for legal tech is open to so many people from all kinds of backgrounds. And it's so interesting to see how A&O has facilitated this company to grow into what it has now. Could you possibly elaborate more on how law students can explore this field of legal tech further, and what kind of work experience or activities they can undertake to show an interest in legal tech?
To be honest, there is so much information out there for free on blogs, on LinkedIn. You know, tons of organizations host legal tech events that are often free, like Law Tech UK. They host some fantastic events. They've also recently published a really interesting set of case studies about machine learning and legal services. You know, even things like Legal Cheek have webinars and events that really focus on legal tech. There's so much out there that I don't think it takes too much looking around for folks to really get a feel of what, or get a sense of what's out there in this field for them. It's all well and good if you can get, you know, an internship or something similar like that. But what I really like to see when I've interviewed and worked with potential trainees and then trainees themselves is really just a willingness to learn, to try new things, and to be curious. I sort of think that kind of curiosity and that willingness to have a go at something and give it a try, that to me is really what shows a real interest in legal tech and in innovation more generally. So it's more of an attitude than I think kind of a list of activities.
Thank you for that. And thank you for being here with us today. I think we'll just end with a classic podcast question to help budding law students and trainees in their applications. Can you tell us something about A&O and Fuse that students will not find on a website?
Oh, sure. That's a really good question. I think one of the things that you will not necessarily see on the Fuse website is how many times we've tried something and it hasn't worked, either at all or maybe the first time. I do think that we've had a lot of great success stories, but so many of the companies that we're working with are so cutting edge and so are really pushing the boundaries of what we can do. And that means, for better or for worse, that we can't always have a super successful pilot or trial of those technologies. Just maybe they're not ready for us or we're not ready for them. That's something I think that people, if you're kind of getting into this space, is something you need to be prepared for, is that not every technology will work for you or for your law firm. And sometimes you have to do a bit of trial and error and have multiple errors before you can find the thing that actually really fits. But it is really important that you keep at it, though. You know, I know it's hard when you are trying something and it doesn't work and you don't want to have to, you know, mess with it again. It is really important that you keep working to figure out what will work for you and really try to make that then part of your daily practice.
Thank you. And I think there was like a hidden life lesson in there. And I think that's such a perfect way to end. And on that note, we will end today's series. Thank you so much, Brenna, for being with us here today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And we will see the rest of you in our next Legal Tech podcast. Thank you for tuning in.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning into this episode of On the Case, the LSC Law Society's podcast. Further information and our contact details can be found in the description of this episode. Don't forget to follow us at LSCSU Law Soc on Instagram or on LinkedIn at LSC's On the Case. See you next time.